Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, hear from one of our special guest speakers.
Well, hey, everybody, and welcome to Church Online. I'm Pastor Clyde, the operations pastor here at My City Church, and really believe God's got something great in store for us. But before we dive in, I want to give a big shout out to all of our watch parties happening all across the city of Omaha. If you're at a watch party, make some noise, give somebody a high five. We love the opportunity to be able to sit together in homes and watch church. But hey, My City Church, it is group week, which means we have small groups of people meeting and gathering all throughout the city where you can find freedom, you can find family, you can find a group of people to be able to do this life and this journey with. And if you're not in a group, I want to tell you it's never too late to join a group. You can sign up today. We'd love for you to join and be a part. But man, I don't know about you, but I've loved this 1 John series that we've been diving into. It's been so powerful. And I hope you've enjoyed our 1 John journals, where every day we're diving into pieces of scripture, really uncovering what God wants to show us as we dive into 1 John. And if you don't have a 1 John journal, you can ask your watch party host, or you can go online to mycitychurch.cc/churchonline, and you can download the PDF there. But man, Pastor Jesse had an amazing word for us this last week as he talked about wasted love. And today I'm excited as we dive into week 4 of our 1 John series. And we have quite a bit of scripture to unpack and to dive in. And so we'll pick it up here at 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 24. And it says this: "For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, and we should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death and into life because we love the brothers. And whoever does not love abides in death. And everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have a confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do whatever pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another just as he has commanded us. And whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. And by this, we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us." Today, church, I want to talk to you from this topic or this thought: from death to life. From death to life. Let's pray. Lord, I pray right now, God, that you would preach 1,000 messages across the city, Lord, that I pray that as your word goes forth, God, that it would tap into our innermost being, God, Lord, that you would challenge our hearts. God, I pray that we wouldn't just hear a good teaching for today, but God, we would apply your word into our life, into our Monday and into our Tuesday, to be able to live out this life from death to life and to love those around us. Lord, we love you. We thank you. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. If you're at a watch party, you can put your hands together today. Man, well, I don't know about you. I don't know if you've ever been out driving around, but man, this last week I was out driving and I got absolutely lost and turned around. And that rarely ever happens to me. We live in the city of Omaha, not super big, but I remember I just got done golfing, kind of out in the west part of Omaha, tucked away in this back neighborhood. And as I was leaving, I decided, hey, I generally know where I'm at, so I'm just gonna start heading east and I'll just kind of wait till I get closer to home and I'll jump on the highway. And I remember I started driving and I was about 5 to 10 minutes in and I was just chatting on the phone with my wife. And all of a sudden I realized I had no idea where I was at. And it was crazy because I was on Maple Street. So it's a pretty well-known street. And I'd realized I'd been going in the wrong direction for over 10 minutes. And it was at this point, folks, where I decided, man, I'm gonna fall submissive. I'm gonna place myself submissive to the GPS, because thank God for the GPS that helps us navigate our way back home. So I throw on the GPS and it tells me to do a U-turn. And what was crazy is the whole time I thought I was going east, I thought I was going the right direction. And even in the midst of following the GPS, it still felt like I was getting further and further away from home. And it wasn't until I got to the highway, till I started seeing things that were familiar, I started seeing proof that I was actually getting close to home, that I had the revelation of where I was at and where I was going. And I think that this is exactly what 1 John is trying to show us in the beginning of this passage of scripture, that he is trying to give us a reminder. He's trying to show us what the evidence and what the proof is of moving from death to life. He's trying to give us this walking path of how to love those around us. And so today, as we dive into the scripture, we really want to unpack what it looks like to live out this reminder, to love our neighbors, to love those around us. And so we'll look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. He says, "For this is the message that you've already heard, from the beginning, that we should love one another." Man, isn't love such an interesting word? You know, I think we all want to be loved. You know, there's songs about love. There's movies about love. We love Chipotle. We love Qdoba because it's actually better than Chipotle because of the queso. Can I get an amen? You know, I think we all have our own thoughts on what love is. You know, love's a feeling. Love's when you're getting married. Love's just only something that you see in the movies. So I think it's important that in the midst of all of our own thoughts about what love is and how to love, today we're going to be diving into what 1 John says on how to love those around us and what love looks like, and he even dives into what love doesn't look like. But I think before we dive into that, church, I think it's important for us to lay a foundation of how to live out this lifestyle of loving those around us. And see, the reality, church, is that we can only love if we've first experienced God's love ourselves. Because the reality is I can only give something away if I've actually received it. I can only give love if I've actually received true love from our Heavenly Father. And so if we know that God's love in us is the foundation for us to live out this lifestyle of love, we have to know that we have to start there, friends. We have to start at walking out and receiving God's love into our heart and into our life. And from there, we can walk out this pathway from death to life of loving our neighbors. And so this is where John shows us. He starts diving in. He says, hey, we're gonna walk through what love looks like, but he actually starts with what love doesn't look like. And so he dives into this next portion of scripture. He says in John 3:12, he says, "We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous." And I think it's so interesting that John here, he actually goes all the way back to Genesis, where he goes to Adam and Eve's first sons, where they are coming before God and they're bringing their offerings before him. And it says that Cain, he worked in the field and he brought his fruit and he brought what he had to give to God. And it says that Abel worked the field and he tended the livestock. And it said that he brought the first, he brought the best to God. And it says that God regarded Abel's, but didn't Cain. And what this did in Cain is it stirred up a level of anger, it stirred up a level of jealousy, it stirred up discontentment to such an extent that it actually caused Cain to murder his brother, his own flesh and blood. And we might read this scripture, church, we might hear that story, and we might say, man, I would never murder somebody. But what's interesting is that even Jesus said that if we have hatred in our heart, that we've actually already committed murder, that we're already up to being judged for that. But take heart, church, because the reality is this is how the world does life, that the world is filled with discontentment. The world is filled with anger and jealousy. This is what the world does. The world looks at our neighbor around us and says, man, they have a different walk of life than me. They have a different story. They might be a different color. They might have a different social economic background. They might talk a little different. They, all of these different things of looking at those around us. And this is what God says, this is what the world does that leads to murder. But see, God is calling us to be a people that doesn't do what the world does. We don't live out the way the world lives it out, but we live it out the way God designed it. And that's where John is taking us in this next portion of scripture. In 1 John, he says, Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. And whoever does not love abides in death. And see, this is the beautiful thing, church, that we are called to move from death to life. And the evidence of that is the love for our brothers and our sisters around us. This is the call that God is calling us to. He says, hey, we've passed out of death. We've passed out of the world's way. We've passed out of the way that the world has done it into life and to a place. And the evidence of that, the proof of that is to love our brothers. This is the evidence. This is the proof that God's work is active and alive in our hearts and in our lives, is that we have a love for our brothers and our sisters, that we would take it to heart. And I think for us to be able to really dive into what it looks like to love, I think the best way to do that is to look at how God defined it. And we look at John 3:16, such a known verse. And it says that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. See, to love is to give. To love is to give. And this is what God is showing us, that if we want to love those around us, we have to be able to give of ourselves, that if we want to be like Christ, we have to be like Christ, that we have to embrace this lifestyle of giving of ourselves, giving of our time, giving up who we are to be able to love those around us. And I think for everybody, we'd love to say, man, I love people. You know, I want to do good and I want to love those around me. But I think it's important for us to take a step deeper and say, hey, not do I just want to love people, but how do I actually give of myself to those around me? How do I actually love and give in the midst of this? And I love how in Luke chapter 6, he says, I tell you, love your enemies, help and give without expecting a return. You'll never, I promise, regret it. Live out this God-created identity the way our Father lives towards us, generously and graciously, even when we're at our worst. Our Father is kind. You be kind. Don't pick on people, jump on their faults, criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. Don't condemn those who are down. That hardness can boomerang. Be easy on people. You'll find life a lot easier. Give away your life, and you'll find life given back, but not merely given back with bonus and blessing. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. Man, what a powerful scripture, and really what a beautiful picture of what it looks like to give of ourselves to love those around us. I love what he says. He says, hey, we're called to love our enemies, to give and not expect a return. He says, hey, don't kick people while they're down. Don't condemn those that are already down. Don't point out their faults and their failures and jump on them. He says, no. Hey, we have to look for those people in our world to be able to love, to be able to encourage, to be able to get in their world. And this is what John is trying to tell us, is to give of ourselves to love those around us. And I really think this looks like when we're at work and we see that coworker who's just having one of those days that's down, and they're walking through some dark things and struggles in their life. And really what God's calling us is to say, hey, if I'm gonna love this person, I have to give myself away to this person. So that might look like giving an extra 15 minutes of your lunch break to be able to sit down and hear their story and be able to hear what they're walking through. And more importantly, be able to give them hope, be able to give them life. You know, for some people walking through this journey, for us to love people might not just be to give, but in reality is to forgive. That you might have people in your life that if you want to love them, you have to embrace a life to say, hey, I'm gonna forgive this person of what they've done and where things have landed with them. Because see, this is reality, church. I don't know your story. I don't know what you're walking through, but we all have something to give to those around us. We all have time. We all have a story to share. We all have ears that we can listen. And you know what I love, church? Is that the scripture says, and you'll never regret it. And I don't know about you, but I've never regretted loving somebody. I've never regretted giving somebody on the side of the road a couple dollars that I had extra of. I've never regretted taking extra time to be able to hear somebody's story and to be able to love them. I've never regretted giving of myself away to others. And I love how it wraps it up. He says, and if you give yourself away, not only are you gonna give yourself away and you'll find it back, but you'll find blessing and favor in return. Generosity begets generosity. And see, not only are we called to love is to give, but to love is to gain. And you might say, what do you mean by to love is to gain? It's such an interesting perspective and thought process. But see here in 1 John, he says, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. And you might say, man, how do we gain something in the midst of laying down our lives? How do we actually gain something in the midst of loving? But see, here's the reality, church, that if we embrace this lifestyle of loving our neighbors, if we embrace this lifestyle of saying, hey, I'm gonna love those around me, we begin to gain the opportunity to show love and to show Christ's love in us. And I think we can look at the scripture verse and we could say that by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. And I think that we could say that this scripture might be specifically for the saints or for his disciples or other people within the church. But there's this really interesting thing that Jesus says in John chapter 13. And he says this, by this everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. See, here's the reality, church, that to love is to gain. And when we love people, when we take time out of our schedule to love people, we gain this beautiful opportunity to be able to love and show Christ's love in and through our love for them, that they begin to have a glimpse of who God is by the way that we love them. That he says that everyone will know that you're my disciples by the love that you have for one another. Man, and I'll never forget, man, growing up in high school, I had a best friend. And man, we were just the two closest guys that could ever be. And you know, during the summers, he'd practically move into our house and he's there almost every other day, spending the night over the weekends. And man, I just remember, man, I'd constantly invite him, say, hey man, just come to youth group with me. Come to youth, come check out my small group, come check out church. And you know, we'd make him come with us when he spent the night on a Saturday. And I remember praying so many times and said, God, I pray that you'd help him see you today in the service, that it'd be in the midst of a worship moment, that he'd have a revelation of your love for him. That I pray that it was while we were at the dinner table and in the midst of a prayer moment that like you would speak to him and he'd say, man, I believe there's a God. Because time and time again, he's just said, man, I just don't know if I can believe. I just don't know if I get it. I don't know if I believe in this whole God thing. And I remember it wasn't until about 2 years of just doing life together and hanging out and just really being a part of our family. Till one time he said, man, I think I'm starting to see it. I think I'm starting to actually believe in this God thing that you're talking about all the time. And I remember thinking, man, I thought it was gonna happen in the midst of a Sunday. I thought it was gonna happen because he was in the midst of a worship service or because we prayed over him or all these kind of things. And he began to tell me, no, I think I actually believe in this thing because I see the love in your family. I see the love that you have for the people around you. It was in those moments of driving to soccer practice because his mom had to work. It was the countless dinners together at the dinner table, laughing together and sharing love together and walking the journey and making sure him and his brother were taken care of during Christmas times. It's all of these things to be able to say, I'ma love you. And he began to see and have a revelation of what God's love really looked like. And it was because of the love that he saw within the church, love that he saw within our family. And today, church, I want to tell you that there's power in the love that you have for one another. There's power in the love that you have for your coworker. There's power in the love that you begin to let out of your life. You say, God, use me to love those around me. See, church, one thing that I've found is that not only are we called to love is to give and to love is to gain, gain the ability to make a difference in the world around us, the ability to gain a new perspective of God's heart for people, to gain permission to be able to share God's love and his truth. But see, the reality is, church, that not only are we called to those things, but if we truly have love in us, love leads to action. Love should lead to action. If we truly have God's love in our heart, it should lead to action. And John says this right here in the scripture. He says, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. And by this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him. See, church, love should lead to action. And that's one of the reasons why here at My City Church, we have our I Love My City team, where we partner with nonprofits and organizations and community partners to be able to put love into action, where we take time as kids are getting ready to go back to school, where we partner with local schools to help make sure that kids have backpacks and pencils and paper, that they can actually launch into their school year with the equipment and stuff that they need, that we have our I Love My City Stuff the Truck, where we partner with nonprofits and organizations to make sure that kids that normally wouldn't have a gift on Christmas, that families in need and foster kids are able to say, hey, I've got gifts. And it's because My City Church rises together and says, hey, we're gonna put love into action. See, church, this is what God's called us to, that we wouldn't just know love, that we wouldn't just talk about love, that we wouldn't just think of love, but we would put love and deeds together. We would put faith behind our feet, that we would put it into action. I love our I Love My City teams, and that's what teams are about. That's what groups are about, is to say, hey, I'm gonna give of myself. I'm gonna gain God's perspective, and I'm gonna step into a lifestyle that says I'm gonna put love into action, that I'm gonna serve on a team because I experienced hope, I experienced joy, I experienced life, and I wanna be able to give that very thing away in the midst of me stepping into action and letting love lead to action in my heart. That's the power of groups, friends. That we would be in our group and we wouldn't just attend a group, but we would look for ways to love our brothers, to love our sisters, to say, hey, I'm gonna take time this week to go out to coffee with somebody and get to know them and hear their stories. So one of the things I love about groups is that we can rally together, that when somebody has surgery, we can put love into action. And then we have everybody get meals together and we say, hey, you don't even have to worry about dinner for the next 3 weeks. That when somebody loses their job, they've got people in their corner cheering them on and celebrating with them as they get back into another job and praying with them and helping support them as needed. Man, this is the power of love in action, that we would see God come to life in us and say, hey, I'm gonna deny myself. I'm gonna give myself away to those around me to be able to show the love of Christ, to be able to walk out the evidence of being brought from death to life, that this is the beauty, church, that we could put love into action. And I feel like God put me on a mission today to tell you, you feel like you might not be ready. You feel like you might not be ready to jump on a team, to serve. You might not feel ready to join a group and put yourself out there. You might not be ready to love again, but I wanna tell you that God's called you. Today is your day to be able to start saying, God, use me. That's all it takes, friends, is saying, God, use me to love those around me. And not only are we called to walk out this life of love that would be put into action, but see, the reality is, church, that love lives in us. Love lives in us. And John says this as he wraps up this portion of scripture. He says, and this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. And whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. And by this, we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. See, what a beautiful promise and what a beautiful word, church, that no matter whether or not we feel like we have it in us, it is God in us. It is the love of Christ that can overflow into the world around us to be able to make a difference, to put love and put it into motion, to give and to gain a perspective, to be able to gain the opportunity to make a difference and to be able to put love into motion and saying, God, use me. And it's all because love lives in us. And so today, church, as you're watching, if that's you and you're saying, man, I've experienced God's love. I've said yes to him. He lives in me and I live in him. Man, I want to tell you that this week, I believe God's setting you up for some amazing opportunities to love those around you. He's gonna be putting people on your mind this week to be able to love and to go out of your way and to be able to get in their worlds and to love them and to lead them and point them towards Christ, because it is the love of the Father that would overflow in us, that we would help people walk from death to life. But today, this is one thing I know, that there's somebody watching right now. This is for you, that God's been chasing you down. And you say, man, I love this message about loving others. I love this message about loving those around me. But if I was being really honest, I don't know if I have God's love in me. I don't know if I've ever received God's love. I don't know if I've ever said yes to God being alive and being my Lord and my Savior. And today, I believe God's been chasing you down for this very moment, that he's been coming after you, that 2,000 years ago, he died on a cross for you and for me. And for today, right now, is your opportunity to say, I want to experience and I want to accept God's love into my heart and into my life, that I want to live out this life of going from death to life, to be able to live out this pathway. And if that's you today, I want to say a prayer with you, and I want you to repeat this prayer after me. And it's not the words of this prayer that changes us, but it's the condition of our hearts. It's the condition of our hearts saying, God, I choose to place myself under you. God, I ask you into my heart to receive your love. And so if that's you today, I want you to pray this prayer and repeat after me. Say, dear Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And right now, Jesus, I give you my life. Become the Lord of my life. I give you my past. I give you my present. I give you my future. I'm yours, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Man, we are so happy and excited for you, and that this is just the beginning of what God wants to do in and through your life. And today, church, right here, right now, I'm believing that God is beginning to open our eyes to be able to walk from death to life, to be the evidence to love is to give, to love is to gain. Love should be put into action, and we can do all this because we know that love lives in us. Well, right now, church, we're gonna go back into one more song of worship.
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.